Listening to WKGN AM 1340 Knoxville, FM 101.5 West Knox, and streaming online at foxsportsknoxville.com. Fan Run Radio.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. We're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth.
Back on the airwaves, it's Talk Sports coming live from the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee bringing us in. National championship last night. Did we enjoy it? Did we watch? How did we feel? Was it good? It's about what we expected. We all thought Villanova was going to win. Villanova, you know, set the pace. I guess Michigan technically set the pace. Michigan had a lead for, you know, 7-8 minutes to start the game, and then Villanova just kind of took over. How are we doing this morning, boys? Ben Lee gives a thumbs up. Cody?
Ben goes first. Ben's doing well. I'm doing well. Good to be here. Good to be anywhere.
Really
good
to be here.
Thank you for asking. How are you today?
I'm okay. Feeling good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Feeling good.
I'm a little bit worried that I stink.
No, it's not you.
You walked in the studio, you just said it smelled like cat urine, and I worked out this morning, and I don't know why I would smell like cat urine, but I'm hoping it's not me.
Maybe it's me. I don't know.
It is a bit musty in here, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know
what it is.
Maybe it's both of us. Maybe it's just our manliness colliding with each other.
I tried to put on a lot of cologne and stuff.
Yeah?
I played some basketball, went for a nice walk.
I broke
a little sweat this morning.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have time to shower after. I showered last night, so I should have showered fresh probably, but I didn't have time.
Yeah.
So I just did the body spray thing, you know?
I don't think it's you.
Okay. Well, I don't know what.
Sorry if I made you feel self-conscious, because I've got to be real close and personal for the next.
I'll try to stay over in my corner.
3 hours.
Try to stay over here in the corner. Yeah, last night, though, good game for a little while. I guess it was, what, 25-23 at one point. Michigan was, they did control things early, but you saw how good Villanova really is. And that second half, I mean, I went ahead and watched the whole thing like an idiot. I stayed up for the one shining moment just to see it again. But, yeah, Villanova just, you know, anytime Michigan would try to make somewhat of a push, Villanova would just stomp right on their face like they've done everybody else in the tournament.
Yes, a dominant run for Villanova. And everyone does the thing, gets caught up in the moment, says it's the most dominant run of a champion. You know, Villanova covered the spread all six games, won every game by at least 12 points, I believe. But I'm here to show some respect to that 0-9 North Carolina team. That 0-9 North Carolina team doesn't deserve just to be completely wiped out of our memory and out of the history books by calling Villanova the most dominant team. The North Carolina team also went 6-0 against the spread, also blew out a bunch of teams. They didn't win a game by less than 12 either. They went 43-14, 21-12, 14-17. And had, you know, some pretty good pros on there as well with Ty Lawson and Tyler Hansbrough. I mean, when I say good pros, I mean, they had their moments. Hansbrough's are, you know, obviously a better college player. Ty Lawson was good in the NBA for, you know, 5 or 6 years. The team also had Danny Green, who, I mean, still doing pretty well in the NBA as well.
Interestingly enough, that team did not beat better than a 7 seed.
No, I don't think in the tournament. I don't think that's accurate. I think when it says those Wikipedia numbers next to it, it's teams in the country. Or is that the seeding? Because I saw that as well.
That's got to be seeding because the first one's a 16 Radford and then an 8. Oh, no, no. Okay, so the
21 right next to LSU. Yeah. There's no 21 seed.
Never mind.
It was weird they were combining them, but yeah, no. I was going to say, I saw that earlier. I was like, there's no 21 seed in the NCAA
tournament. Never mind. I lied. They beat 2-2 seeds, a 3, and a 4, so yeah. Pretty good.
Now, they had a good run.
Pretty good run.
I mean, Villanova's great, too. I'm not saying that Villanova team went and beat North Carolina. I'm just saying let's show some respect. That 09 Carolina team was pretty damn dominant as well. We always want to rush to say this was the best ever. And while Villanova did run through the tournament, make no mistake about it, so did that 09 Carolina team.
Is this the most dominant team since then? Maybe not team, but the way they performed in the tournament. Because they're not better than that Kentucky team. But that Kentucky team didn't win the NCAA tournament.
The Kentucky team that went 38-0 and then lost to Wisconsin.
Right.
I don't know if this team is better than them or not. I mean, that team had better pros, but they were all freshmen. I'm like, this was a bunch of grown men.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they were better or not. I don't know. I mean, that was combined with the SEC being really bad that year. Right? Wasn't the SEC really bad when Kentucky had that run? I know Tennessee was down.
I think so, because it's been really bad up until the last,
year
or two.
So I don't know. I mean, Villanova ran through a lot of people. Were favored in every game this year. They're an all-time great team, and I think Jay Wright has ascended to being an all-time great coach. 14th coach ever to win multiple national championships. Sorry, Rick Pitino, you no longer count. 14 coaches all time have done it. Jay Wright now officially on that list. He's young. I like the way he does things. I'm not going to get mad about us hiring Buzz Peterson instead of him in 2001. Did you know that? Did you know we could have had Jay Wright back in 2001 and chose Buzz Peterson instead? Not going to choose to be mad about that and think.
He was Michael Jordan's roommate. So,
I wish I'd have been old enough to scream about that. I was 11. But I wish I would have been old enough to say, hey, if we're having to sell a guy on the fact that he was Michael Jordan's roommate, it's probably not a good idea. This is probably a bad idea. Now, at that time, I mean, Jay Wright hadn't accomplished really anything. You said he was only 56 yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, take 15 years. I guess he'd be 37, 38. I mean, he's always good looking. George Clooney was probably coming right off of his, the apex of his career, ER.
Yeah, so he got hired on at Villanova in 2001.
Oh, so he went there instead of here? I mean, once we passed on him, he fell back and said, I'm going to go to Villanova?
Apparently, because he was coming off two NCAA tournament appearances at Hofstra. That's where he came from before Villanova.
Okay.
I guess to defend our administration a little bit, would we have been happy if we hired the coach from Hofstra?
I don't know. Where was Buzz Peterson from?
Well, that's a good question.
Where was Buzz Peterson from other than Michael Jordan's dorm room in the early 80s?
That's a big deal, though. That's a big deal. You're Michael Jordan's roommate. You got to know basketball, right? Buzz Peterson was from Appalachian State, and they had an NCAA first-round appearance. And then he had a 26-11 year at Tulsa where they won the NIT. So I'd say that's better than Hofstra.
I mean, when you can hire the guy who brought you the 65th best team in the country, you got to do it. You got to do it. I can't imagine sitting down with Jay Wright and not just being swooned. I can't imagine him like failing very many interviews. So charming and good looking. You mean to tell me we sat down with him and was like, no, we're going to take Buzz Peterson instead?
He was Michael Jordan's roommate. I mean, I'm sure you'll be a good coach someday. Maybe you can go somewhere like Villanova.
I'm going to not be mad about that because, I mean, I'm sure at the time people were like, you know what, let's get the Southern boy, the guy from North Carolina. He sounds like us. We don't want this Yankee Jay Wright coming down and coaching the basketball program. I'm sure you got some of that.
Oh, you know what else? He was Michael Jordan's roommate.
I'm going to not be mad about that. Jay Wright is on a a pretty big tear right now. 33-3, 35-5, 32-4, 36-4. Those are his last 4 years.
I mean, we can't be mad at something that happened 18 years ago, can we?
That's 16 losses in 4 years.
Yeah, he's 134-16 with two national titles, and they haven't lost back-to-back games since, what, the 2013 season?
Yeah. You know, we're going the last 4 years. If you want to throw the fifth year in there, they went 29-5. So it's not like that really changes things. The guy's pretty much averaging four losses a year. I think he's the best coach of basketball right now, and I don't think it's reactionary. I think he embraced the evolution of the game quicker than anybody. I think you saw that this tournament when they had already broken the NCAA tournament record for three-pointers after five games and still had a whole other game to go. Like, I think you saw that on display. Jay Wright looked and said, hey, let's do what these smart guys in the NBA are doing. Let's just shoot a bunch of threes and get to the rim. And it paid off. I mean, like I said, he's lost four games a year.
Yeah.
They overwhelmed people.
They did both last night really well in that second half.
Yeah. I mean, last
inside
night.
Inside and outside.
Last night they had a cold shooting night. 7 from 3. They usually shoot better than that. They usually shoot better than 37%, it feels like. At least in big, including the Texas Tech game. Two titles, 3 years. Jay Wright ascends to legendary status. Like I said, he's the third coach active with multiple national titles. He is the 14th all-time. Sorry, Rick Pitino, you shouldn't have been a creep and a cheat.
Man, I think Pitino's, I mean, they still count.
No, they don't.
Technically.
No, they don't. No,
technically, they don't.
Check the Wikipedia page.
Technically, they don't count, but really, I mean.
Check the wiki.
We all know who won the titles.
Check the wiki. They don't even make a note of it on the sheet. They don't even have Pitino marked out. They just leave his name off the list. Check the wiki.
Vacated titles are kind of dumb to me.
Wiki doesn't lie.
We all know what happened.
Yeah, they won because they cheated.
Did they cheat?
Yeah, they did.
It's not like they were doing steroids or juicing or something, you know.
No, but they were cheating to get good players at their school.
They weren't doing anything different than any other school.
They are the only school that I know has been paying strippers and prostitutes to come over.
Only one that's gotten caught.
I didn't say they're the only people doing it. I said they're the only people that we know of.
They were dumb to get caught.
They're the only people that we know of.
I don't think that's a reason to take a guy's national title away.
I mean, yeah, getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars by Adidas to have athletes funneled there. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just part of the game.
Sorry, Pitino's not on my WikiLeaks list anymore.
Looks like Pitino's a better recruiter to me. He found ways to do it that other coaches didn't.
Now, you might have something there.
All is fair.
You know, I saw Chris Vernon from Memphis. I've seen people tweet out about how recruiting rankings don't matter, how recruits don't matter in college basketball. Everyone wants to buy this fallacy that you can win with team basketball. Point to Villanova not finishing like in the top 30 in recruiting.
In the last 5 years, right?
Yeah. Point to Michigan for not finishing there. I've talked about it with Michigan. Wagner and Matthews, both top 120 players in the country coming out of their class. Doing that with Villanova just seems really dumb. Of the six players on Villanova's roster, four of them are four stars, two of them are five stars. So, like, the team recruiting rankings might not matter, but stars are always going to matter. Bridges scored 19 points. He was a stud. He was a four-star. This Dante DaVinciero, four-star. Top 120 player. I don't know if I said that right at all. It doesn't matter. He's Italian. I got the Dante and the DaVinci.
DaVincenzo.
DeVincenzo. Four-star. They got four stars coming off their bench and dropping 31 points. Brunson, five-star. So, like, you can look and say and live in your fantasy world and say recruiting doesn't matter, or you can look at reality and say, yeah, you still need a couple dogs to win the title. You still need some elite talent. And Villanova's got a bunch of them, and they've got the good kind that doesn't leave after 1 year. Like, we'll take tier two, please, and we'll slowly bring them along. And then they'll turn into killers by years two and three. That's what we'll do. We don't want the guys that are going to go pro after 1 year. Leave those at Kentucky and Duke. We'll take the really good guys who are going to stay and become grown-ass men and score 31 points off the bench, going 10 for 15 from the field. How about that? This guy scored 31 points on 15 shots. That's pretty stout. And again, you can say recruiting rankings don't matter, but look at the stars. Look at the context. Because Villanova had a whole bunch of highly rated guys out there getting it done. Jay Wright, I mean, it's going to be the popular thing to say now, but best coach in college basketball. But it's a good thing we hired Michael Jordan's roommate. We'll be back on the other side of Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
It's time you changed your perception of Gold's Gym.
Tyler Bowman sends in a couple of those other guys on that 09 Carolina team. Danny Green mentioned him. Hansborough. Tyler Zeller, also a pro. Ed Davis, also a pro. Wayne Ellington. I mean, they had a whole bunch of pros on that team. That 09 Carolina team was really damn good. Last night's team ran through the tournament. And, you know, I told you I was kind of reevaluating, Cody, my take that college basketball doesn't usually crown the best champion.
Yeah,
kind of feel like it. I kind of feel like it does. It's a flawed way to get there, but I do feel like more times than not, recently at least, you know, there are a few exceptions, but it does feel like the best team is going to win more times than not, and if not them, it's going to basically be kind of like college football in the sense that four teams are going to have a chance, like the top four is going to win. Because even the year that, you know, Kentucky was 38-0 and lost, Wisconsin and Duke were playing for the title. And I think most people would have had them in their top four, right?
Yeah, it's usually going to still be one of the best teams.
I mean, Duke winning that year is kind of equivalent to Ohio State getting hot with Cardale Jones. And going from fourth to winning the title, like it happens every now and then in college football too.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, in basketball, how far back do you have to go to UConn, find a team that wasn't the best?
UConn kind of sticks out with Napier and the Kemba year.
Well, was that the 2014? Because 1 year they got hot and won their tournament. I remember they won it as a three seed.
That was Kemba's year.
Okay,
that was Kemba's year. That'd be like what? Oh,
11.
11? Okay.
11. And see, I thought at that time, I picked them that year because they had gotten hot in their tournament. I thought at that time maybe they were the best team, but the 14 team, weren't they like a 7 seed in Kentucky? Weren't they very low seeds, right?
Yeah. Like both UConn teams kind of have asterisks next to it. And sure, like Kemba got really hot. Kemba was the best player in the country at that time just because he was a point guard who was out of his mind throwing fire. Like that's all he was doing, and he was – the baddest man on the court at all times, and he carried them to a title. Was that the year they beat Butler? UConn beat Butler in Kemba's year, right? You have it pulled up right there, right? It was the year after Duke won the title.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they did beat Kentucky in the championship.
No, that's with Napier. The year
in 14.
Yeah, go to 11.
Oh, 11, yeah, they beat Butler.
Yeah.
Because that was when Butler made it back-to-back title game.
Yeah, and that was the year Butler was like an 8 seed. So, like, that title game will always be the worst title game ever. Like, that'll always be the worst championship at any level ever. So, like, I can't disrespect that UConn team for that reason. They beat, like, an 8 seed Butler team. And it was, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, I might be wrong on this. Now, that 09 Carolina team played at Ford Field. I was going to say that was the first year we went to the stadium way out for these big games, but I believe the 09 Carolina team was at Ford Field.
Yeah, 08 was in the Alamo Dome.
Okay. Yeah, so the Alamo Dome, is the Alamo Dome a football stadium?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Florida was in the Georgia Dome.
Okay. Georgia Dome, a little bit. Okay. So, yeah, I mean, they've been doing the football stadiums for a while. So it wasn't.
Yeah.
I just remember that Butler-UConn game, just nobody could hit a shot. Like, both teams shot like 30%. And everyone kept talking about the depth perception and how these stadiums are stupid and ruin every good game. So, yeah, I can't acknowledge either one of those UConn titles. I mean, they won them. Good for them. But outside of that, it feels like they get one of the four best teams pretty much every time to win. So maybe I need to reevaluate the take that the college basketball tournament doesn't crown the best champion.
When UConn won it in 2011, the best team that it beat seed-wise was a 2 seed, and that was San Diego State. That was that year. San Diego State was really good.
I'd imagine that was Kawhi Leonard. I'd imagine Kawhi Leonard was also on that team.
Yeah. That would have been around the same time frame.
Yeah.
They beat Kentucky. Kentucky was a 4 seed.
So, yeah, it might be time to reevaluate that because, you know, these guys, it seems like the best team's going to win, at least one of the four best teams. Villanova was the best team in the country. You could say Virginia, sure. Virginia was probably the overall number 1 seed. But Villanova was the betting favorite, especially after Virginia lost their 6th man. I believe they were tied at the top until Virginia had that injury.
Was Nova the betting favorite going in?
Like I just said, I think Virginia was either slightly favored or equal with Villanova until, you remember, they lost their 6th man.
Right.
And then I think Nova shifted into the favorite. So, I mean, the favorite, it was a crazy tournament. One whole side of the bracket had all the high seeds knocked out except Michigan pretty much. But on the other side, the right side, Villanova was the betting favorite, and they ran through and they won the tournament. And they did it in a way that I always have the theory, and we'll talk about it coming up because the betting odds for next year's title are out. We'll tell you where Tennessee's at. But I always say, like, if you're going to take one of those favorites, you're probably betting game by game instead. Turns out Villanova was so dominant against these other teams that, like, you only got, like, a plus 287 return on the money line betting per game. Because usually when you get to the title game, you're not going to be a 7-point favorite or you're like minus 350 on the money line. But that's how dominant Villanova was. So you actually only got like a plus 287 return on betting Villanova every game to win. So you would have been better off taking them at 5 or 6 to 1 before the tournament started. If I'm Michigan, how do you feel today?
I think I'm able to accept that loss. If I'm Michigan, knowing how good that Villanova team was. I mean, John Beilein kind of said it. I listened to his interview after the game, and he was talking about how, you know, they knew coming in there's a reason Villanova was number one. They knew they had their work cut out for them. So I think I could accept this one as a Michigan fan. It's not like losing to an 8-seed Butler or one of those UConn teams. You lost to the best team in the country. I think you can accept it. However, you've now lost 4 title games in a row.
I'm looking and I'm saying I went 3 for 23 from 3. And I'm wondering, like, hey, could we have shot better and kept it close? I am wondering about that. I mean, Matthews, really good guard, played well against Loyola. He comes out, kind of lays an egg. 6 points, 3 of 9 shooting, 0 for 4 from the free throw line. Like, they shot 3 for 23 from 3. And Villanova's lanky. Like, they could bother you out there. But at the same time, they shot 11 of 18 from the free throw line, you know, 61%. So they're probably not feeling good about how they shot just in general. Like, Villanova was just better. So you're probably right. They're probably looking to say, we ran through the big second place again.
I'd rather be second than 32nd.
Oh, no, for sure.
I mean, just to get there, to hang those final 4 banners, you know.
You get to hang a banner that's not going to get taken down because of the Fab Five. You'll feel good about it. Beilein, I mean, continues to be now. I guess Beilein now, is he the best coach without a national championship?
The fact that he's been there twice and hasn't won it, I would say so.
I mean, it feels like he is. I don't know who else would even be in contention with him right now. maybe Chris Mack, but Beilein has a better career than Mack.
Yeah, Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes, you think? Rick Barnes is probably in that conversation.
I mean, he's probably up there.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. Barnes, Beilein, and Mack, I mean, I guess they're the next ones up. I mean, Sean Miller, whatever. He's an idiot. Sean Miller can't even make the Final Four. Loser.
Tony Bennett. Throw him in there.
Yeah. Bennett feels young. I don't know what Bennett's age is, but I feel like he's relatively new. Do you know how long he's been coaching?
No. The dude at Gonzaga, Mark Few. Fox was at Georgia.
Yeah, Mark Few. That's actually a really good nomination.
I'd say he's in there.
I feel like he was validated a little bit. I feel like he was validated a little bit by
making the title game.
Making the title game, because for so long it was just like they couldn't get to the Final Four. Are we really holding it against him that he can't win a national title at Gonzaga?
I'm not holding it against him. I mean,
but as far as best coaches without a title, yeah, I mean, that's probably the answer. You might have found the right answer there.
He runs his program. I mean, every year they run through that conference. I guess St. Mary's is the one team that kind of competes with them.
I was going to say every year it's just we're going to wait till March.
Yeah.
Like, get ready for the tournament.
But they usually schedule pretty well. You know, they beat some good teams at a conference in November and December, so.
Tony Bennett started coaching at Washington State in 06, got to Virginia in 09. So, yeah, he's on – I mean, I guess he's going to be on his 10th season, so he's been there for a while. So maybe it is starting to weigh on him. Mark Few might be the answer there. Mark Few might be the answer there. We'll start looking ahead to next season. Tennessee making the rankings, making the top 10. Sporting News had them at 8 yesterday. ESPN and CBS Sports put out their two early top 25. One of them has them at 8 again, but CBS Sports feels pretty good about the Vols. I'll tell you where he has them next. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Life can...
Before we get to ESPN's top 25, saw this story pop back up on the timeline, so I figured we better hit it before we switch gears. The star of last night's game, Dante DiVincenzo.
DiVincenzo.
My name is Dante DiVincenzo.
Isn't that how they said it? DiVincenzo?
I don't know.
DiVincenzo. Now, what about him?
You see his tweets get brought up last night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it did.
I see this USA Today story. USA Today picks it up.
A profane and offensive tweet from Dante DiVincenzo's account in 2011 surfaced when he was 14.
That's really the only takeaway for it from me. Like, I don't – it's always been a personal rule of mine. And, look, I know this guy grew up in Philly, whatever, played basketball, probably had a lot of black friends. I feel like I have a lot of black friends. I still try not to ever use the N-word on social media or text or post anything about it. Just, you know, to err on the safe side. Even if it's just a song lyric, and even if, you know, people won't be necessarily offended, I still just try not to do it.
Rule of thumb. I mean, rule of thumb, you don't do it if you're a white guy.
I really don't think I even did it when I was 14. Like, that's the thing is, like, this kid's a 14-year-old, and, you know, for a 21-year-old to have to answer for a tweet he sent 7 years ago when he was 14
so dumb.
Is really, really dumb.
And so it was rap lyrics, first of all, right?
Yeah, it was rap lyrics. And he said he was balling like Derrick Rose.
And the particular word was the version with the A. At the end.
It wasn't a hate-filled thing. It was a rap lyric from, was it Meek Mill?
I don't know.
It was Meek Mill, like a Philadelphia guy. Like, you know. And you have to know it's dated because he says he's balling like Derrick Rose. And no one has tried to say they've been balling like Derrick Rose in a long, long time.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Derrick Rose ain't been balling in 4 or 5 years, so you had to know it was really dated.
That's the thing, though. For a guy like this to do what he did last night and then have to be questioned about this just shows you how dumb the internet is, right?
I typically like this game of let's go find some embarrassing tweets. Like, always for, you know, I'll always reference Geronimo Allison, the wide receiver from the Green Bay Packers. He has that one breakout game on national TV, catches a couple touchdowns, and before the game's over, all of the like the dirty tweets he sent about women and sex and doing gross stuff all just gets like retweeted on the timeline, and I'm like, you know, I'm laughing.
Yeah.
It's a first of all, it's a professional, it's an adult, so it feels a little different. And he's like in college when he's talking about threesomes and doing all this stuff with girls and you know, just having really dumb tweets. But I'm laughing. And then last night, yeah, like you, when you bring back something from somebody when he's 14 years old, you ask him about it.
Well, like it can be funny when it when, you know, somebody retweets it and it first surfaces and you're like, "Oh God." And it's funny then, but then when these stupid reporters, these national idiot reporters start asking about it. When the fun police show up, exactly.
Fun police are here. Party's over.
USA Today.
Ah, it's the blue guys.
USA Today columnist Gary, whoever.
Dan Walken.
Yeah. I just want to ask you about a tweet you sent when you were 14. Could you explain that?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that I makes was it, 14 and I tweeted a rap lyric.
That makes it feel way different. And I felt bad for him. He just went with the "that I didn't do that" defense.
Yeah,
at first.
Which is obviously.
I really don't think he probably remembered. He was 14. It was seven years ago.
Well, I mean, I'm sure he sent the tweet, but
Oh yeah, no, but like when I asked him, he's like, "No, I didn't do that," because he's probably thinking, "I would never do that now. I know that's probably something you should steer clear of now." So he's probably like, "No, I didn't do it." And then he finds out, "Oh wait, yeah, I did when I was 14,
the
7 years ago."
The guy hasn't even been on Twitter in 2 years. He hasn't even been on
that. Now, that's the thing, like, we're hitting the tipping point now, like, where 21-year-old college star was on Twitter active at age 14, right? Like, now, from, you know, every time somebody in college is going to do something good, all these young professionals, there's going to be a plethora of tweets on the buffet to choose from.
Yeah.
From when they're 12, 13. We've now hit the generation where these guys are on social media at age 12, 13, 14, and then, like, you know, grow up and have to still have that back where they could.
Well, the one that he sent, that wasn't even the good one, the particular one we're addressing with the supposed racial undertones. You saw the other ones he sent, right?
I only saw one other one. The soccer one's the one I saw.
Did you see the one about the I like it when girls – I can't read it on air.
So I assume it's him telling –
trying to think of a way to say it.
Stuff in the bedroom that he likes.
Trying to think of a way to say it without saying it on air.
Yeah, you're fine. Just
– lick.
Okay, just stop. Just stop.
No, it's funny, though, because it wasn't what he likes in the bedroom. He was 14. It was a joke. You know, he was talking about, like – because it was just
it's just him
something.
Living in pop culture and taking things that he hears other people saying and just being a normal 14-year-old dweeb. Like, my favorite was the soccer one, though. Did you see the soccer one?
Yes.
August 11th.
My mom calls me a...
Well, I guess to my dad, I'm a meow now because I don't want to play bleeping soccer. So he tells his Italian father, "Hey, I'm done with soccer. I'm playing basketball." And his dad responds by saying, "Yeah, well, you are a kitty cat." And then he goes off and, of course, you know, wins a national championship, star.
It's a life-changing feeling.
The Big Ragu. How about that for a nickname? If I'm him, I'm fully embracing that. People were calling him the Big Ragu. Be under the microscope from stuff they said when they were 12 and 13-year-olds. Go back and think about the MSN Messenger statuses you put up.
Yeah, go through there.
Because that's what I'd be looking at. Like, whenever I was 12 or 13, I was on MSN Messenger posting song lyrics. I hope I didn't post any racial slurs, but like I said, when I was 12, who knows?
Do you have tweets?
Song lyrics. I listened to a lot of 50 Cent.
Do you have old tweets from 2008 that could be uncovered?
I didn't start Twitter until... maybe I did start this Twitter earlier. I don't actively remember using it till like age 20. I didn't get it in high school. I feel like I got it like in 09, like maybe my freshman year of college, but didn't really get active until like a year later.
I was like the first guy of all the people I knew that had Twitter
yeah.
when it first came out, like 08 or whenever.
Mm-hmm.
And then I quit using it. I didn't like it. And so then I didn't start using it again until like 2013.
No, I've gone through and I've checked certain keywords to make sure that I don't have anything that will come back and really.
What were the keywords? I mean, what did you search?
Well, I don't want to say the keywords. The keywords are the bad words.
I mean, just thinking what you might have said.
I found one where I called Derek Dooley a meow, yeah. like in all caps, really mad. I just feel like that should be cleaned. I want the F word. Just make sure I don't have anything too vulgar.
The
with
C
that.
Word.
Yeah, just anything that would, you know, get people mad. Just because I'm like, it's not worth the hassle. It's not worth the badge of honor of being like, team no delete or I don't care. Like, it's just not worth it. So, yeah, I ran a keyword search and tried to go back and scrub anything that might come off as hateful or, you know, stuff that would look bad if one day I got famous and then all of a sudden people started retweeting these.
Yeah. Sometimes it's best to just delete the tweets.
Sometimes. Just go through, scrub it. Get it clean. And then, like, it's just not worth the headache. And look, I'm somebody who loves this game of let's find people's old tweets of, I don't like so much the freezing cold take culture we have, where if you make a bad sports prediction, people retweet it. Like, I don't necessarily like that culture. To me, that one's kind of frustrating. But, like,
I like the ones that are, like, completely wrong, though. There was, wasn't it Wolken that tweeted out his Elite Eight winners, and he picked, like, the four opposites. Like, he got all four wrong. When it's something like that, I like it. It's an extremely cold take.
Sure, I guess. Like, sometimes I get a chuckle at him. I'm just saying I don't like when people – that I could do without that culture, but I don't want to give up the culture of let's find these funny tweets because Geronimo Allison, I still laugh about him. Dennis Smith Jr. saying he has a God-given talent of swinging that big old wood in his pants. Like, that's all. That'll always be funny to me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lose that, but I do think if I was say, Jeremy Pruitt, I do think I would have a class. I do think I would have a team meeting where we had somebody, some interns or something, say, hey, let's go through and scrub all these keywords. I do feel like I would do that. If I was a high school coach, I'd be like, hey, see what happens to this kid? Let's just all start new Twitter accounts. I really do feel like I would if you care about that person. Like, because, I mean, he shouldn't have had to answer that after scoring 31 points in the national championship. And I hope I really don't sound like a nerd right now. I feel like I might sound like a nerd for saying they should scrub their Twitter accounts. But just like, that's how you avoid situations like last night.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to fade away. Like, he won't be remembered for the tweets. In Villanova lore, he'll be remembered for the 31 points.
Yeah, but I feel like with the outside of Villanova, he'll be remembered for the tweets. And the nickname Big Ragu.
I don't think so. Well, that may be a little
bit. I think every time I hear this guy's name, I'm going to think back to whenever he said his dad called him a meow for quitting soccer.
I'm going to think about the tweet with the, you know.
Back in the Mountain View Chevy studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Mountain View Chevy is the home of the low price promise, which means they will meet or beat any advertised price, or they will give you the car for free. Oh, but they're not in the business of giving away cars. No, they want to sell you one, which means that they're going to keep that promise. So find you a low advertised price. Drive down to downtown Chattanooga, I-24, downtown, the Market Street exit. Say, read it and weep. Mountain View Chevy, I want this Silverado discounted $1,000, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000 off, and they'll get it done. You can search their inventory and compare the prices they currently have right now online at mtnviewchevy.com. Tennessee in the way too early top 25. Sporting News had them at 8. Myron Metcalf from ESPN, known idiot, had them at number 8. CBS Sports' Gary Parrish has them up at number 5. Gary Parrish says Tennessee will be the 5th best team heading into the 2018-2019 college basketball season.
Tennessee, like Auburn, should return most of the important pieces from a team that shared the SEC regular season title. More specifically, the top 6 scorers are back. Among them, SEC Player of the Year Grant Williams. So it'll come as no surprise when the Vols finish at or near the top of the league again. That's what Gary Parrish wrote.
Yeah, he says compared to Auburn because he has Auburn at number 4.
Yes, he does.
He has Auburn at number 4 in his list. He has Tennessee at 5th. Tennessee returning their top 6 scorers. That seems important.
It'd be nice if Auburn could have lost Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, it seems like that's not going to happen anymore.
No. They lose Davion Mitchell. But they're bringing back pretty much everybody as well.
Tennessee still doesn't have a commitment for the 2018 class. They're going to have one scholarship at least. I don't know where they're going to go with it, what they're going to do, if they're going to try to find a young freshman that's talented to come in and kind of try to bring you a scoring punch, or if they'll go with a veteran guard again to kind of be a backup point guard coming off the bench, kind of just fill in the James Daniel III role. I don't know. I don't know if they'll have more than one scholarship available. You would think there would be some attrition. But so far, nothing. When you look at Tennessee's roster, do you think they have some of the Villanova potential of take a couple of talented guys, develop them by the time they're juniors, have them be really good?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think so. I thought that this year they overachieved a little bit with those guys, but the fact that you get them all back, this is a team that should be in the Elite Eight next year. I mean, with everything they've got coming back, I think Elite Eight should be where you set the bar. Anything less than that, a little disappointing. Even Sweet 16 next year, I think, would be a little bit disappointing with what the roster you're going
to
have.
I mean, the only guy who has that potential to kind of fill in that that role or fit the Villanova mold of take a talented guy, develop him, have him ready by the second half of his sophomore junior season, I guess would be Pons. I mean, Pons is a 4-star. He's a top 130 player in his class. He came along a little bit last year. He's athletic. He's long. He has elite-ish talent, or I guess top-end talent, if he could learn how to play basketball, which is a weird thing to say, but like he's just behind the curve when it comes to that. If he could take a step forward next year, that could be a big addition for Tennessee. It would be like getting a big commitment because you did have a 4-star, a top-level prospect. You did have him commit and sign last year and, relatively make no impact in his freshman year. I mean, for all intents and purposes, Pons redshirted last year. I mean, I know he didn't officially. He was playing in the tournament. I'm not saying literally. I'm just saying for all intents and purposes, he was a redshirt. If you could get him playing at a high level next year, It would be like going out and signing a big four-star or five-star blue chipper. Obviously, you miss out on Simons, as he says he's going pro. I know Rick Barnes and the staff had put a lot of eggs in his basket. But you have Pons, who has an elite body at 6'6", chiseled 6'6". You saw the video of him dunking on that alley-oop to himself. Like, he has the explosive athleticism to be a game changer. Can he make the leap from year one to year two? Because to me, outside of Admiral Schofield's draft evaluation, to me, that's the most important thing this offseason. It's not so much who they recruit with their one available scholarship. It's, to me, is can they get Pons? Can they get even maybe a Jalen Johnson? Can they get somebody? One of those two. I mean, Jalen Johnson kind of has, I mean, he's a lot more slender than Pons. He's not chiseled, but he's 6'6". Like, he has the height and athleticism to hopefully get a shot over anybody. Can one of those guys take the step?
Jalen Johnson made the One Shining Moment video, too.
Is there anything more overrated than One Shining Moment?
I don't think so. I stayed up for it, and I felt dumber for watching it. It reminded me of watching a cheesy sports movie. And the feeling you have when you're done with it, you just feel gross because you watched it. You feel like you were abused by the movie. You just got it all over you. You feel dirty. Like Kicking and Screaming, for instance. Felt about like I did after watching that.
You were excited for Kicking and Screaming?
At one point in my life.
That's when the world realized Will Ferrell's not as funny as we all thought.
No. He just made a bad movie.
That's when we realized Will Ferrell, maybe not a leading man. Will Ferrell's more of a sidekick than a leading man.
No, that was just a bad movie. He's a pretty good lead man and anchor man.
What else?
Talladega Nights, Step Brothers, co-headliner in Step Brothers. That's about all he's got as a lead man. I liked him in Old School, but he wasn't really the lead man.
No, he was far from
Elf.
Elf is a good nomination.
Elf was good.
Elf's a good nomination. I prefer my Will Ferrell as the supporting guy. Because Kicking and Screaming was an abomination.
Oh, it was horrible.
And that was like right during his hot streak where you thought he couldn't miss. So you're like, you'd given him the benefit of the doubt where you could go and see anything he put out and it would work. And then he made Kicking and Screaming.
Well, basically the feeling you had watching that movie is the same feeling as watching the One Shiny Moment video.
I can't remember the last time I've stayed up for One Shining Moment. I don't think I've seen one in 10 years.
I mean, I wasn't going to, but I watched the post-game interviews, and I was just sitting there, like, One Shining Moment's coming up next. Well, okay.
Yeah. So, Pons, take that next step, please, because Tennessee could be dangerous. 50-1 right now online to win. To win next year's title.
Derek Walker, maybe he's our guy.
Derek Walker's going to need to get a lot better.
Yeah.
For him to be that guy.
Yeah.
I need it to be somebody on the wing, but if Walker wants to turn into a huge force down low, that would definitely be a benefit. That'd be an added plus for sure.
I'd like to see Kyle Alexander just turn into a shot-blocking machine. Bone and Bowden get to the point where they can't miss shots. Just get really damn good.
I'm now going to worry all offseason about us laying an egg next season.
Yeah.
About us not being able to recapture the magic.
Yep, we've set our standard now.
Yep.
We're going to go in preseason top 10.
Yep.
Top 5, according to Gary Parrish.
Maybe pick to finish first or second in the SEC. No more of like, hey, at least we're not finishing 13th. There's going to be a lot of pressure this offseason. There's going to be a lot of pressure next season.
Elite eight or bust.
Hype train rolling. What could go wrong? Hour one in the books, hour two on deck. Stick with us. We'll get to some headlines. It's Talk Sports on Fox Sports Knoxville.
NutriShop. Not